Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. Today we're going to be learning Tachat Yitzchak on Chanukah. This is Maimer Aleph. And the shir should be as chus for Shlem, for Moshe and Michal of Egayel, and Zara Shel Keom, for Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Esther, and Amos Ben Shishana Rezel. Says Moron Rabbi Hudnil Zatzal, Yiduim Heim Advarim, Ki Yeshnam Divrei Torah, Shenitnu Li Kosev. It's well known that there are Divrei Torah that are given to be written, and there are Divrei Torah that are not given to be written. Gemara in Yuma says that Esther is Nimshal al Shachar, just like in the quote the Pasuk, Amatzech al Yelas Shachar, Ma Shachar, which is referring to Esther, Ma Shachar Sof Halayla, Af Esther Sof Nisim, just like Shachar in the end of the morning, end of the night, the beginning of the morning is the end of the night, so to Esther is the end of the miracles. Frek the Gemara, aye, what about Hanukkah? How can you tell me that Esther is Sof Nisim? What about Hanukkah? Hanukkah is also a nes. Answers the Gemara, it's also a holiday with Nisim. Answers the Gemara, no, Nidna li kosev kamrina. Hanukkah is not Nidna li kosev. When we say that Purim is Sof Nisim, Esther is Sof Nisim, it's the last of the miracles that was written down, that was canonized, that was written in the Tanakh. Mashenkein Hanukkah, which is a holiday which was not written down, even though, yes, it is a nes. It's a wonderful time, but it was not Nidna li kosev. So we're going to understand today, Mitzvah Shem B'Siyata D'Shmaya, the difference between Purim, which is a Nidna li kosev, and obviously the focus is going to be on Chanukah. Chanukah is lo Nidna li kosev. What's unique about Chanukah, and how that relates to Torah Shabbal Peh in general. It says in the Pasuk, Echtov lo rubi torasi kmozar nechshav, I'll write most of my Torah, and it's like a stranger. So this is a Pasuk in Hosea. From this Pasuk we learn that the writing of Torah, Chazal learned that the writing of Torah Shabbal Peh could have created a status of zorus, of strangeness, with respect to the Jewish people, with respect to Knesset Yisrael. Echtov lo rubi torasi, if I write my Torah, if I'll write my Torah, kamo zar nechshavu, it's going to be zarus, it's going to be strangeness, estrangement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we write down Torah Shabbal Peh. And the Medrash brought in Tosis and Gidden on Daft Samach, it says that the Jewish people are going to, that the Goyim, the Umas Olam, are going to write down the Torah. And if Torah Shabbal Peh was written, we had Torah Shabbal Peh written down, the Goyim would have written that down too. And then the Jewish people would be Zorin. We'd be estranged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we look in this Medrash, we find that it emerges from the end of the Medrash, that that's what the intent of the statement of Chachamim is. Ki lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris in Yisrael, el al divrei Torah Shabbal Peh bilvad. The bris, the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the Jewish people, is only with Torah Shabbal Peh, as it says, Ki al pi hadvarim elu karati itcha bris. Based, but al pi, based on Torah Shabbal Peh. Al pi, on Torah Shabbal Peh, karati itcha bris. I created a covenant with you. So, we didn't want to write down the Torah, because the Goyim would have, well, in the end, we had to write down Torah Shabbal Peh, because we were people were going to forget. But originally, we didn't write down Torah Shabbal Peh, because then the Goyim would have written it down as well. They would have had their own Torah Shabbal Peh, just like today they have the Tanakh. They would have had their own Torah Shabbal Peh, would have been written down, and then that would have created a sense of estrangement between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because our whole bris, our whole covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is predicated dafka on Torah Shabbal Peh. And if not for Torah Shabbal Peh, if we write down Torah Shabbal Peh, then it's going to create zaris, this estrangement between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because the covenant is a covenant of Torah Shabbal Peh. What's the covenant? A covenant is not only a connection between two people, but it's also the exclusion of all others. That's a marriage. When you have a marriage, you have the covenant between the man and the woman, and the exclusion of any other unique relationships outside of the husband-wife bond. And that's what we have with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have this bris, this covenant, that it's menias shaychus. There's no, it's for preventing any other nation, any other people from having this unique bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have. And that's why we're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbal Peh, Because Torah Shebaal Peh is just passed down from father to son, from Rebbe to Talmud, and this way it stays, ideally, within the Jewish people. And this prevents anybody else from being part of the Bris. We see something very interesting in Birchas HaTorah. We start Asher Bachar Banu, and we have another bracha, Asher Nasan Lanu, Asher Bachar Banu Kol Amim, Asher Nasan Lanu Torah Semes, V'chai Olam Netos V'cheinu. So we have Asher Bachar Banu and Asher Nasan Lanu. And the Gra writes that these two brachas are split up into two different inyanim, lefi seder hazmanim, that the asher bachar banu, asher nasan lanu, really reflect two different time periods. On the second of Sivan, God says to Moshe, v'atem tiyuli amlechas koyanim v'goy kadosh. That's asher bachar banu, that's in the second of Sivan, that we were chosen as God's special holy nation. And the nesinas, after 4 days, when Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's the Nisina Sator. Asher Bachar Banu was on the 2nd of Nisan. Asher Nasan Lanu was on the 6th of Nisan. Now the covenant with the Jewish people was created on the 2nd of Sivan. Already with the Asher Bachar Banu, Batem Tiyuli Ram Lechaz Konev Agoy Kadosh, we already chose it on the 2nd. That's our covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The covenant was already on the 2nd of Sivan. And since we said that this covenant encompasses within it the negation of the writing of Torah Shebaal Peh, that as we said a few minutes ago, that part of the bris is that you're not kial, pi advarim elu karati itcha bris, pi is peh, is Torah Shebaal Peh, that based on that our bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our covenant is based on Torah Shebaal Peh. And the covenant was already 4 days before Matan Torah and the 2nd of Sivan. So we see then that this Isser of Dvarim Shebichsav, Yetar Rishoy L'Omer Baal, Dvarim Shebaal Peh, Yetar Rishoy L'Omer Bichsav, what we normally write, what's supposed to be Baal Peh, what's supposed to be passed down from person to person, from mouth to mouth, you're not allowed to write down, that precedes all the Surei Torah. Already on the 2nd of Sivan, we have a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which precedes all the Surei Torah. And it precedes not only the Surei Torah, it precedes the very event of Matan Torah. And the depth is that the Isser to write down Divrei Torah Shebaal Peh is not an Isser Prati Ben Shari Surah Shel Torah. It's not a specific Isser. Rather, who kvius tsura shel krisus brisa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael. It is creating the form of the making of the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Jewish people. Bekitzer, ha'itzer shel ksivas dvarim shebaal peh ma'aveh chelik shel brisa Torah harve yosem asher mishtech l'guf divrei Torah atzma. The isser of writing down Torah shebaal peh is part of the covenant of Torah much more than it is part of Guf Divrei Torah, the Divrei Torah itself. So we have here, sweetest friends, we have two categories. We have the Asher Bachar Banu and Asher Nasan Lanu. We have the 2nd of Sivan being chosen as a HaKadosh Baruch Hu special nation. And then we have the 6th of Sivan, the actual giving of the Torah. The bris that we started already on the 2nd of Sivan, the primary element of this bris is the Shlilas Ksiva Shel Dvarim Shebaal Peh, is negating the writing, is the forbidding the writing of Torah Shebaal Peh, because the Torah Shebaal Peh is our bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this bris implies the exclusion of all others. And that's already on the 2nd of Sivan. And that's even before the actual giving of the Torah. So as Refutner always does, as we've seen in many other shiurim, b'siyata d'shmaya, I thank those who listen and tell me that they listen so I know someone's listening. That we always have in the Maimarim of the Pachad Yitzchok, that he uses his Talmudic analysis, Shitas Brisk, of Tzvei Dinim, and he uses them to explain philosophical ideas as well, and he weaves it all into a beautiful tapestry of Jewish thought. There's two elements to Matan Torah. There's the Guf HaBris, which already started on the second day, the Asher Bachar Banu, the Isser Ksiv of Torah Shabbat Peh, and then there's the Etzem Matan Torah, which is in the sixth of Sivan. And this matter, this point, receives more clarity when we look at the Klali Sidur HaMishnah and how the rabbis told us to understand it. B'soch Klalei Sidur HaMishnah Nimtzayim Ke'elu She'enam Nirim Klal K'maisis Sidur. Even though the Mishnah has a Maisis Sidur, the Mishnah was organized, there are certain rules which seem to be against organization. There's a rule Ein Sidur LaMishnah. There's no specific order to the Mishnah. Chasuri Mechsura, that the Mishnah wasn't completely written, that it's lacking words. Anim b'makom zev, ashir b'makom acher, it's poor in this place, it's lacking here, and it's rich in elsewhere. That all same idea of not everything being written here. Why is that? Why is the Mishnah written so ambiguously? Why is the Mishnah written so succinctly? Why on earth do we need art scroll to figure things out half the time? For those who use the art scroll, that's what Mishnayos are actually excellent. Art scroll Gemara. Why is it necessary? Why can't they have just written it out originally like that and make it nice and clear? There's a guy, he said he finished 8,200 pages of Shas. They said to him, how can that be? There's only 2,711 pages in Shas. And he said, I use the art scroll. Each page is about 6 pages. So why is it that Torah is so difficult to understand, that you need so many footnotes? You need the Rashis and Tosasim and Rishonim and Achronim. And you need so much Hesber. And the answer is, because yes, we had to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. Eis Lasis Lashem was a time to act for God, otherwise we were going to forget the Torah. Nevertheless, the rabbis try to keep it as Torah Shebaal Peh as possible, in order that the Ksav will still need the Peh. In order that even what we write down will still need verbal explanation. And that's why to this day, you need a Rebbe to explain the Gemara to the Talmud. Doesn't make sense. The Mishnah of the Gemara, just read it by itself. How do you read it? You didn't have those commentaries on the side, the Rashi, forget about it. What do we do? Not the Rebbe, and the Rebbe got it from his Rebbe. My guy, my Rebbe, got it from his Rebbe, got it from his Rebbe, got it from his Rebbe. So it's Torah Shebaal Peh. I used to listen to recorded shiurim from Rosh Ha'areli in the Mir, and he would say he was Rav Nachum's son-in-law. Rav Nachum was a Talmud of Baruch Be'er. He would say what Baruch Be'er would say, and the shiur was in Hebrew, but then he would say in Yiddish, exactly as the Lashon, as the Rebbe said it. V'dvar ma'alolo ha'im yisod godol b'seder ha'richosim shal divrei Torah shebaal peh alaksav. And this is a big yisod in the organizing of divrei Torah shebaal peh alaksav, that they tried to keep it as al peh as possible, and therefore they made it so ambiguous, so obscure, in order that we would still need the services of the Rebbe. ומתוכם של הדברים הללו מבצבצת ועולה היא הנקודה שנתבהרה לנו למעלה בגדרו של איסור כתיבת תורה שבדברים שבעל פה. And now we emerges new clarity in the point that we brought up earlier in the gather and the definition of the Isser of writing Torah Shebaal Peh. Because if the Isser of writing Torah Shebaal Peh would just be an individual Isser amongst other Issurei Torah. So if it's an Isser to write it down, and now it's Mutter to write it down, so write it down. The Isser was Mutter, Matir Asurim, we were Matir the Isser. So write it down. So if that would be the case, it would just be a regular Isser. So now the Isser is abolished. So forget about it. You're allowed to write. Shuv lo haya lanu inyan lachzik bo lefrakim ul afilo leserugin. We didn't use it from time to time and do ein seder lemishnah and chesurei mechsura and make the Mishnah and the Gemara also so difficult to understand. Because the Isser was a hoter. Eis lasis lashem, it's a time factor. God, hey, favor with Torah Sechel. We're allowed to abolish his Torah. Now we're allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. So memeila, write it down properly. If it would just be an Isser, that's what we would do. But that's not what we do. We do as much as we can. We still try to maintain. We try to preserve the original status of being Torah Adverim Shebaal Peh. El Sheheim Heim Adverim, as Friedman likes to say. Meniyas Aksiva Shel Divrei Torah Shebaal Peh Shayechasi Lebris HaTorah Shekodma Lehufo Fosu Shel Torah. The prevention of the writing of Torah Shebaal Peh relates to the covenant of Torah that preceded the appearance of the Torah itself. And therefore granted that the Isser is now mutter because of Eis Lassus Hashem. Nevertheless, in order not to be mevatel, in order not to nullify the content, the form of the Bris HaTorah, it remained in as much as verbal as we could keep it, we kept it. That you still need the verbal explanation of a Rebbe. Even after Torah Shebaal Peh was written on the Sefer. So if it was just a din, so it's abolished, Eis Lassus Hashem. But it's a lot more than that. It's not just a regular Isser. It's the foundation of the Bris of Torah. So the Isser is abolished, but the Bris, we want to preserve the Bris as much as possible. And therefore, in order to preserve this Bris, which preceded the Matan Torah, the second of Sivan, the Atem Tzuli and Melechus Konam Goy Kodosh, the Asher Bochar Banu, the special Bechir of Am Yisrael, in order to preserve that, the rabbis wrote down the Mishnah in a very obscure, ambiguous way. Chiluk zeh ben klolius bris haTorah ben dini haTorah atzmo. This chiluk between, this distinction between the general bris haTorah and the dini Torah themselves also finds a place in Hilchas Mesiras Nefesh. The sof, zeh yisod haChiluk ben Mesiras Nefesh alos an averus hadokos bikoch nefesh, uben Mesiras Nefesh b'shas hashman ofil araksa de misanim. That's the foundation of the distinction between the obligation to die for those averos that push away pikuach nefesh. In other words, there's a chiyuv that one has to give up one's life rather than do a gil arayah shvichus dam and avodah zarah. And there's also an chiyuv to die, to be moser nefesh, b'shas hashmad, at a time of persecution. And there it's even on araksa de b'sani, even if Jews wear a certain type of shoelace. And the goyim make us change our shoelaces. So that's something you have to die for. What's in the same these two chiyuvim? Mesiras Nefesh and the big three, and Mesiras Nefesh, and Araksa the Misane and the shoelace? Because the Mesiras Nefesh of Araksa the Misane is not Mesiras Nefesh on the dinim and the mitzvahs of Torah. Sharei Isser Atzma Neinu Nasa L'chama Yosa Adea Kavana Shanachnu Mechabe Mahavir Aldos. The Isser doesn't become more stringent because the Goy wants to make us transgress an Aveira. It's just a shoelace. So why pidom on this shoelace do we have to give up our life if there's a special Jewish way to dress? It's not because of the Isser Shebedaber. Rather, it's because of the Bris Shebedaber. Because this Bris is Yichud Yisrael Ba'amim. That we're unique amongst the nations. And that's the Bris HaTorah. So when we talk about regular Asurim, the major three, vis-a-vis all other Asurim, so it depends how stringent the Isser is. In the major three, in the cardinal three sins, it's so stringent that because of the Chomer Isser, we have to give up our lives. Masha'enken, when we're talking about Klolius Bris HaTorah, we're talking about the general covenant of Torah. There it's different. There we have to give, there's no shiurim at all. We have to give up our life for anything. Even a raksa de masan, even a shoelace. Even there it's yarg vayavru, even there one has to die. So when we're talking about regular asurim, you're talking to look at the chomer iser. If it's really, really stringent, we have to die. Those are the major three. If it's a time of shmad, there we're talking about the goyim wanting us to be Jew, or goyim wanting us to be goyim. It's a time of religious persecution. So in such an instance there, We're talking about our very status as being Jews. The very bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with us. Of being unique, of being special. So therefore, we have to give up our lives even for the shoelace. This reminds me of the tshuva of the Radbaz. The Radbaz is asked if one has to die rather than to convert to Islam. So l'chor or not, because Islam is not one of the major, it's not a vodazara, it's not gil rashan, it's dam. Muslims are, Muslims, they call them today Muslims. When I was a kid, they used to call them Muslims. They're monotheists. Not a vodazara. So the Radbaz, you have to die anyway. Because to be called a Jew is the Yisod. Tzadok talks about this in the Tzidkes HaTzadik. First and foremost, one has to be called a Jew. And then one gets in the realm of Isurim, non-Isurim, Chomer Yisur, how stringent the Yisur is. But first and foremost is the identity of the Jew, it's the Asher Bachar Banu, the uniqueness of the Jewish people. And one has to own up to that, one has to proclaim that, and one has to be willing to give up one's life in order not to relinquish this special covenant we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why there's Mesiris Nefesh, even on the shoelace. And Kedarka B'Kodesh, Shalmorim Zetzal, Refutner, V'chod Zermano Bozel HaAscholah Santvarim. And now we get back to where we started. The Chazina Nisugi De Yuma, the Afilu V'Nogea L'Guf HaMoro Shel HaNes, Shaycha HaChmilsa, V'Lo Nitna Lui Kosef. Even V'Nogea, we saw in Yuma, that even with respect to miracles, we have miracles that are nitna li kasev, and we have miracles that are no nitna li kasev. The definition of Purim is a nitna li kasev holiday. Chanukah, that's why it's called the last holiday, because it's the last written holiday. Chanukah, the unique definition of Chanukah, is a lo nitna li kasev holiday. It's a nes shalom nitna li kasev. It's a nes that wasn't supposed to be written down. How does that define the uniqueness of Chanukah? That this miracle wasn't written down, it doesn't find its way into the canon. There's no book on Chanukah. It's Megillas Esther. We have stories about all the Nisan that preceded the Kriyas Yamsuf, all the Gevaldic stuff that's written in Torah Shebichsav. Chanukah is a nes that's lo nitna li kasev. How is that an exhaustive definition of Chanukah? Hein heim advarim v'achidush hanimsa b'mesiris nefesh shel dor ha'shmonim huzeh ki masru nafshem ratzu shem shenizgala b'dinei Torah lo ratzun ha'shem shenizgala b'dinei Torah. The dor ha'shmonim, their mesiris nefesh was not on dinei Torah, on the specific laws of the Torah. Ki mal ratzun ha'shem shel klol yus yichud Yisrael ba'amin. Chanukah is this bris that precedes Matan Torah. It's not on the guf dinim of the Torah. It's not on the specific laws of the Torah. Rather, it's on the covenant that precedes the Atem Tiyulim Alechaz Konev Goy Kadosh. It's the being holy. It's the bris HaTorah. This covenant that we have with the Kadosh Baruch. Umemeila kach noe v'kach yoa ki ma'ore mo'ed chanaka yam mufko mitaris ksav. And therefore, how appropriate it is that the holiday of Chanukah is mufka, is completely removed from being written. Because it's about the bris, the special covenant, the yichud, the uniqueness of the Jewish people, Beno Amin. That's Chanukah. And we said this bris that we have with Hashem, that we're unique, and it's just us and Him, to the exclusion of all others. That precedes Matan Torah. And therefore it has to remain, Chanukah has to remain verbal. It's a lo nitna li kasev holiday. Because Chanukah is about the yichud, the uniqueness of Am Yisrael amongst the nations. The bris HaTorah that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that special covenant. And that was the Mesiris Nefesh of the Chashmonaim. Sheken kol atzmo shel chidush moed HaChanukah eino ala benekudah zel shel mesirut nefesh al avodat yichud Yisrael ba'amim. The whole chiddush shel HaHalalei of Chanukah is in this nekudah of Mesiris Nefesh of the avodah, of the uniqueness of the Jewish people amongst the nations. Asher shlilat haktav hi hi ha-befoah shel yichud zeh, that negating the writing of Torah Shebaal Peh is the befoah of Chanukah, is the befoah, is the practical reflection, expression of this uniqueness. and how special it is. That if you look in the Mishnah, there's no Hilchos Chanukah in the Mishnah. There's no Dinei Ner Chanukah in the Mishnah. Derech Agav is the Mishnah Bava Kamma that mentions there's a camel and there's just a rabbin and there's a Chanukah menorah and it catches fire. How come? But it's Derech Agav. How come? It's Agav Gerara. Why? Why not write Chanukah explicitly in the Mishnah? Many people have discussed this. Rav Neri has a beautiful article about it. But now we understand according to this beautifully. Like our rabbis teach us, that even after the Mishnah was written, we still want it to be B'tzuras Torah Shebal Peh, Chesurei Mechzera. That's why Mishnah is missing words sometimes. Ner Chanukah, we completely omit it from the Mishnah, Dinei Ner Chanukah. Because the light of Ner Chanukah is the light that was revealed through the Mesiris Nefesh of the preservation of the Bris HaTorah. Chanukah meant that we wanted to maintain this special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're unique amongst the nations. And therefore the best way to express that is to completely omit it from the Mishnah, to make it completely Shebal Peh, and therefore the Goyim have no Shaychus to Chanukah. They didn't want them to have to translate like we had to translate Torah Shebichsav. And that brought darkness to the world, like Chazal say. But Torah Shebichsav, we didn't want to have to translate and bring more darkness of Yavin. And therefore, Torah Shebichsav, therefore Chanukah, is not even not written in Dinei Chanukah, not written in the Mishnah. Because it remains in the realm of Al Peh. Because it's Chanukah represents the preservation of the covenant that we have with Hashem to the exclusion of all the other nations. And therefore this is best expressed in the not writing it at all, not only writing it very, very succinctly, but not writing it at all. And that's an expression of our special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the end of, and that's why Chanukah is defined as a Divrei Torah Shel Nidnu Li Kaseh. The best way to define Chanukah is a holiday that's not written down. It's Chanukah, that's Bris HaTorah that precedes Matan Torah. It's Torah Shebal Peh. It's the special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the end, that's the end. We learn Maimer Aleph B'Siyata D'Shmaya. The end of the Sefer, in the Miluim, the Pachad Yitzchak and Chanukah, he goes deeper into this. Maybe B'Siyata D'Shmaya, we'll be able to study that together as well. Lineder. In the meantime, we should all be zocher. Lilmod ulelamed lishmo v'lasis. What time is Kibrei Talmud Torah? So, v'yahavu, amen, v'amen. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.